Thank you, Greg, for reading our gospel lesson this morning. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. John's Christmas story is short. Yet each word is decadently selected to plunge us into the depths of what the beloved Christmas carol asks. What child is this? As a mystic and a poet, John reaches for theologically rich Greek words, logos. Logos is not just word, but God's word. Not just in speech, but God's rationality, God's thinking. Mysteriously, the logos, God's rationality, God's thinking, God's consciousness, takes on another Greek word, sarx, meaning human, flesh, body. The Logos becomes human through Jesus and lives among us. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. The Message translation says, the Word became flesh and blood, and then it moved into the neighborhood. This morning, we recall Mary, the mother of Jesus, who hears the shepherd's good news on Christmas and ponders it in her heart. Historically, the church hasn't so much pondered this mystery thoughtfully, but has argued and debated whether it's true or what's the way that we have to think about this. People have been excommunicated from, called heretics, put in harm's way, and even killed for their thoughts on the matter of this morning's scripture. Some believe Jesus to be God's self, fully divine, God walking around in a human suit, which is disturbing. Others believe Jesus to be fully human and to reveal the ways of God. Others are comfortable with the mystery of it all, fully human and fully divine, which is the gist of the Chalcedonian Creed in the year 451 AD. But regardless of our beliefs, our thoughts about God don't matter unless we can answer this simple question. So what? What difference does it make? Is it about being right or is it about being faithful? On this first Sunday after Christmas, we ponder this in our hearts. What difference does Christmas make to us, our faith, our world, that the Word became flesh and lives among us? So what that we say the Word was made flesh and revealed through Jesus, who ate, slept, walked, cried, who knew this life that we know? First, God's desire to be with us, to be in relationship, was so great that God chose to enter humanity to know fully what we are going through. What does this mean? It means the loneliness that we have felt, God has felt. The suffering that we have endured, God has endured. The betrayal we have experienced, God has experienced. Because God chose to take on flesh, there is a depth of understanding in which God can listen to a prayer, walk beside us, and say honestly, hey, I know exactly what you're going through. And you're not alone. There is a reason why support groups are vital for healing and growth. When you find a group of people who have struggled with something that you struggle with, or have experienced loss the way that you've experienced loss, there is an intimacy, a connection that reminds you of something so comforting that you can bear the slings and arrows of life. And that word, it is not that life is easy, but that you do not go alone. In the refrain of, O come, Emmanuel, comes an answer in another beloved carol, Joy to the World, because the Lord has come. We welcome the God who is fully with us, a friend, a support, a bedside comfort, always near. The words of St. Patrick, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. Through Jesus, God becomes flesh to be with us. Second, through flesh, God's word is revealed in ways that we can relate to and understand. Jessica and I laugh that when I went to seminary, she knew the Bible better than I did. And it's true, she did. In my first semester, I remember going on a hiking trip with a seminarian friend, and around the campfire at night, he asked me about my anthropology and my construction of my theology, wondering if it was low or high, and how did that play into my understanding of Christology, and what scripture passages was that informed by? He was speaking a completely different language than I was. Within those big, airy, theological words come the words such as mercy and justice, grace, love, come those who would philosophically argue in agnosia, the roots and intellectual maneuvers that spit us somewhere into a back corner of the farthest universe. But in Jesus' word, it's known, revealed in ways anyone can see right within them or right beside them. Mercy looks like forgiving the criminal on the cross or transforming a man who was persecuting the Christians. Justice looks like giving bread to the hungry, clothing the naked, creating a home for the immigrant. Grace is broken bread, wine poured, a meal requiring no money or extra hoops to jump through. Love is a gaze of compassion upon a crowd, a healing touch that restores community. The word takes on flesh in ways that you and I can see around us, not in this back corner of the universe, as some may argue, but on the corner of Maple Street, where people daily line up for a warm meal to eat. We see it through the hands of skilled doctors, the care of nurses, or the ear and support of a therapist. We witness the word in a neighbor helping a neighbor in efforts to make laws and policies more just for all. Because of Jesus, because the word is made flesh, we can notice the word alive today, living among us, accessible not only to those who are trained, but to anyone who lives fully present to that word, who dare to knock, to have it open to them. We can notice the word among us. Third, and last, and perhaps most important to the so what we ponder this Christmas is that because God is with us, because we see God's word, God's love, justice, and mercy revealed through Jesus, the word can be lived through the flesh, through these bodies of ours. That the word is incarnate, that these bodies of ours can channel and be an instrument of that word to be born into our world. As a parent of three, I have noticed something about the way we grow as human beings. And I see it every day in my 8-month-year-old daughter. Her big brother and big sister constantly entertain her, and every once in a while, as she studies their movements, she gets a little glint in her eye as if to say, "Oh, I can do that with my body?" So she reaches a little bit further for a toy. She lets out a squeal in the same fashion as her siblings. And just the other day, while she was watching her big brother, she began pinching her fingers together, studying how they could grip things. By watching and observing, she is discovering more and more about what she can do with her body. Because the Word was made flesh, we can observe the Word and we can embody it. God's thoughts, God's Word can be lived through these bodies of ours. It is a bold incarnational claim that is also made by the psalmist in Psalm 8, which says, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them, that you have made them a little lower than gods? And crown them with glory and honor. You have given them responsibility over the work of your hands. You have put all things under their feet." A little less than gods. As Paul uses the phrase many, many times throughout letters, that we are in Christ. When we live no longer, not I, but with Christ, united in this Word, we can join God in God's work in the world and can embody God's love and mercy and justice. Marianne Williamson says it this way. She says, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond all measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's our light that shines. We unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our fear," she says, "our presence automatically liberates others. We have power to stand up against injustice and against kings who perpetuate oppression. We have power to bring good news to the poor. We have power to look upon others with compassion. We have power to love our neighbors as ourselves. We have the power to change oppressive structures and systems. We have the power to live the Word right here, at home, at the store, in the streets. As we ponder Christmas in our hearts, what child is this? We ponder a God whose desire is to be with us, enough to be born into our lives. We ponder the ways Jesus reveals the Word through flesh, through this life you and I now live. And we ponder what is possible when we ourselves embody the Word, when we boldly embody God's love in the world, revealing Christ's love for others. And we have the power to live it. And so, Church, Grace United Church of Christ, let that Word shine bright and far, especially into this new year. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.